himself in life, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How Lord, I lift your name on high. Let's cue that up, musicians. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. Come on now. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save. Heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my death to pay, from the cross to the grave. sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. You came. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My debt to pay from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name. Let's sing it again now. From the top. Oh Lord, I lift your name on high. Do you love to lift his name, church? Lord, I love to sing your praises. So glad you're in my life. Yes. I'm so glad you came to save us. And you came show the way from the earth to the cross. My debt to pay from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Let's try that song, Our God is Greater. Water you turn into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. Yeah. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes you rise. There's no one like you, my God. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power, our God. Our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand? Then who can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then who can stand against? Who can stand against? Yeah, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are. Amen. Let's sing that song, Days of Elijah. That's been on my heart. I think that's a fitting song to sing. Let's join in. These are the days. All right? These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant, of Moses, righteousness being restored. These are days of great trial, day of famine and darkness and sorrow. We are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call, hey, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion to salvation come. And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding that temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. Oh, the fields are all wide in the world, and we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call, hey, lift your voice. Year of jubilee, now desire to salvation comes. Here we go. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he goes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call, salvation come. No God like Jehovah now. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. Trumpets call, oh, lift your voice. It's a year to believe. Now desire to salvation come. Well, lift your voice. It's a year to believe. Now desire to salvation come. Oh, lift your voice. Yes, Lord. Glory to God. Amen, amen. Isn't he lovely? Hallelujah. I can feel the same spirit that was in here this morning. Just easy to jump right in. Amen. I appreciate that. I know our Heavenly Father does too. Amen. Let's sing this song as we transition, just before we take some special needs to the Lord and take up our evening offering. Let's sing that song. Shout to the Lord together. And my Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. In all of my day, I want to praise the wonders of mighty love. Oh, my comfort, my shelter. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yours is the kingdom, honor, and glory. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to play that softly, musicians, as we take these needs to the Lord. Many were mentioned this morning, and we're going to just continue to hold these special needs up before the Lord in prayer. Amen. We're going to ask that you remember Brother Troy and Sister Connie and all that they've been through recently. Pray that God would just touch Sister Connie and restore her body. Man, I know it's just been a real hard trial for them, so let's pray for them. Hold them up in prayer. The Drum family as well. Always remembering the Drum family in our prayers. It is also their 46th anniversary, so we're thinking of them on this special day for them. Amen. We're going to remember Sister Tina Knobloch in our prayers. Just been a real trial for her, what she's been going through. And also Sister Carrie, similar issue, dealing with vertigo spells and things of that nature. We'll hold them up in prayer. Amen. We got some folks out of town. Going to be remembering them. The Ivies are not with us. The Stevens are not with us. And Rachel and Henry Coffey are not with us. So if you remember them in prayer, and that'll be all that I have at this time. Brother Ted, if you would come forward, please, and take these special needs to the Lord for us. Do you have a need on your heart? And to save time here, I'm going to invite the deacons to come forward at this time, and I'll ask Brother Ted to bless the offering as well. So deacons, come on forward. We'll take up our evening offering. So Brother Ted, if you pray for me.
Let's bow our heads. Lord God, we're so thankful, Lord, for the service you gave us this morning, the fellowship with our friends from South Carolina, brothers and sisters, Lord. We so appreciate the words of life that came forth. Lord, we know that's in the past. We're in the present now, Lord, and there's another service as we go forward. We're thankful for the refreshing of your presence. We feel you here now, just like it was said earlier, like earlier this morning. But Lord, there's still needs amongst us, Lord, and we want to lift the requests that have been read and spoken before you, Lord, and before our hearing, Lord. And we just want to remember each of them. We want to add Brother Keith to that too, Lord. We just want to thank you for your healing virtue that goes out to us when we have a need, Lord. And we know, Lord God, that you're a very present help in trouble, and you may not come on our timetable, Lord. We know that you're seldom early, but you're never late. And we want to thank you, oh God, for that. Lord, we ask that you would just be with us once again, and also, Lord, be with the giver, Lord, as we honor your requirement for the offering, Lord. We just pray that you'd be with us now in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Thank you very much, Brother Ted. You may have your seats. Let's sing that song as Sister Haven Pritchard is making ready for her special. So as we sing this, we'll invite her to come forward. We fall down and we lay our crown at the feet of Jesus, the greatness of his mercy and love, at the feet of Jesus, and we cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. Amen. Sister Haven.
Made for more. Man, isn't that lovely? Appreciate that, Sister Haven. Beautiful song. My. Let's sing another song. We're going to try this. I think it's the first time I've ever tried it. It's My Living Hope. So if praying you'll join in with us, and if you know it, help us out. Amen. Give us a key there, musicians.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Could imagine. So great a mercy, what heart could fathom? Such boundless grace, the God of ages stepped down through glory to bear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Set me free, hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord who set me. On me, you have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Oh, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to out of the silence, oh, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim. Oh, would you stand and sing with me? Hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah! Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord who sets me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip. Every chain, there's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ. Oh, my Lord, sing it again. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, oh my living. One more time, hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah.
Death has lost its grip.
Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip for me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated for a moment. Good to have you all in the house of the Lord, and thank you for coming tonight. Certainly have enjoyed the day. I have enjoyed my fellowship immensely over the last couple of days with Brother Sven. We've had him in our home, and it's been a great blessing. And appreciate just the times of fellowship that we get like this. And I just wanted to say that I appreciate all the specials. I really appreciate that choir this morning. That was all right. That junior choir started the day off and just did a great job, and I really appreciate it. I enjoyed that. I wanted to say that I appreciate also the work that was put into doing the dinner today. Sister Kim, I handed her the mantle and told her no decorations, nothing, just chicken. And I mean, that was a banquet. That was a lovely meal. And Sister Kim, Sister Angela's not here. She is here tonight. And their crew. Let's give them a round of applause. Sister Park, Sister Reynolds, and everybody else who was involved. I appreciate each and every one of you and those helping clean up and all the rest of it there. Now, I went this afternoon and called early this morning to Brother Troy Hughes and just chatted with him, and he was driving and by himself, and so we just chatted, and I said, I just wanted to call you and tell you I loved you and missed you, and we were on our way to church as well, and we hate that you're not going to be here because I know it's your desire to be in church with us, you know. And he said, you tell the church we love them and appreciate everything that they've done. And I went to the home this afternoon to see Sister Connie. And she was there by herself, and we were just talking about things. And I think it was Sister Karen who was in the other day and was playing just some hymns and church music for her, you know. And when Sister Karen was leaving, she simply said, it's so nice to be in church. So nice to be in church. And she just always talks about it. She always loves to be in church. And she wanted me to convey to you how much she appreciated cards and the flowers, and I brought her over a meal today. Sister Becky got a meal together and brought that over to her so she could have a little bit of that. And she said, I just so hated to miss church today. So I thought to myself, and I said to Sister Karen as well, why don't we take church to her? So that's usually not a hard thing to coordinate. So as soon as we can arrange it, we're going to have church over there in the home and just go over so Sister Connie can go to church. And I know she'll really appreciate that. And we just have a service there, maybe a Wednesday or Saturday or whenever. I'll let you know. And I think it'd be really nice to just go over and have some singing and be able to fellowship with her and Brother Troy. I appreciated Brother Burley and his crowd, and I appreciated everybody making them feel as welcome as they were. That was not their first church dinner. They knew how to do that. They didn't need any coaching about church dinners. They got in there and put their feet under the table, and they were happy. And so I appreciate you making them feel welcome. They feel like, you know, it's just a real oasis for them over the months that they've had no church building, and it's been tough for them. So we sure want to remember them, and they'll be back, and we'll be able to fellowship with them again. We love their worship. We love worshiping with them. And they love worshiping with us, so that's great. We're going to turn it to Brother Sven this evening here and just give him his liberty. And what you need to do is chase away any tiredness. If you need to go out, now is a good time for you to go out, slip out, and then come back so we don't have too much movement in the service, if we can help it. And let's give him our attention there. I didn't mention this morning, I don't know if Brother Jaron did, today is the Drums' 46th wedding anniversary, and they were going to be here still battling with sickness, and so they were not able to be here. Sister Carrie Whitlock's had a rough couple of days, and so we sure want to hold up Sister Carrie in prayer and just trust that the Lord will undertake for her. And I often ask Brother David, you know, what we can do, and he said, hey, you're already doing what you need to do, and that is keep praying and trusting that the Lord will undertake. So we know that God's a healer, but we just want to keep presenting that petition to him. So let's stand to our feet this evening here, and let's sing a little chorus here, and then we'll turn it over to Brother Sven, and just let him take the service tonight. And Let's sing that little chorus, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And you just pull on that gift now. Be it unto me according to your word, according to your promises, I can stand.
Saints, may you may sit down for a moment. I want to sing a song in Norwegian, but I'm sure you know it in English. I will praise my Redeemer. Is that a song? Yes. I don't know it in Norwegian, so I will try. Can I have the guitar, please? So you may sing along in Norwegian if you want. Shouldn't be a problem. So similar. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Is it key F or is it G? Is it G? I'll sing it in Norwegian, okay? Jeg vil... It's too high for me. I need it lower, sorry. Jeg vil prise min gjenløse for hans store kjærlighet. All min skyld helt utslett. Våga sjele, liv og fred. Syng og syng om min gjenløse. Med sitt blod døpte meg. Jeg ble fri da han fri vil. Tok min skyld. Jeg vil synge om den sang, for min sjel så dyrebar, at for meg han sang på korset, og et soningsoffer var. Jeg vil prise min gjenløse for hans underfulle. är silent, allting är underlag. Sing och sing om viljan löse, med sitt blå köpte mig. Jag blev fri då han blev evig, tog min skyld och straff på sig. Jag vill tacka med en löse att han mig och säger gav. Så hans barn kan triumfera över både död och grav. Sing och sing om min hjälpelse, med sitt blå han köpte mig. Jag blev fri, han frivilligt tog min skyld och straff på sig. Ja, jag priser dig, o Jesus, för din gång till Golgata. Är jag evig med din fred, synger högt halleluja. Och syng och syng om viljen löse, med sitt blå frälste mig. Jag blev fri då han frivill tog min skyld och straff. Amen. Amen. Yes. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Glory. My voice is disappearing, so but I want to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That's my mainly motive in life. Not to care not too much about reputation and those things. Amen. So wonderful to be here, Brother Barry. Thank you so much for invitation. I don't take these things for granted. I was very both surprised and happy when he asked me to come, and I just pray for to be that I can be a witness about the grace of God and testify about what he has done in my life, and he can do the same in everyone's life. He can change every circumstance. Thank you. And you bear very well with me with my English, because you probably need like a dictionary to understand my English. But brother, I'm so thankful. So God bless you. Thank you for having me, and I send greetings again from my family, and we appreciate it very much. So may God bless you, brother. Amen. I was thinking about a topic this afternoon, stirring up revelation. There's something about tapping into the eternity. There's something about getting further than human skin and human flesh. It's something about when the Lord is revealing his purpose, his mind, his intentions, his solely being, and we can tap into that. Amen. That's something. It's so easy that we just walk around, you know, in the skin dimension, but just to look beyond it and see what God is doing and his own willingness to reveal his intentions to his bride. It's just so wonderful. Because he didn't leave us here just to walk in darkness. He left us here to continuously reveal himself to each and every one of us. So I'm so happy that this is our testimony, that he's let us see beyond skin. Amen. See beyond human skin. That's wonderful. Shall we stand to our feet? And we're going to read from 2 Samuel and chapter 7. Amen. I'm going to read a few verses there, so please be patient with me. And it came to pass when the king sat in his house, this was David, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see, now I dwell in the house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord. It was something stirring up because of David's utterance, what he said. Something stirred in the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shall thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not me an house of cedar? Now therefore, Saul, shall thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be a ruler over my people, over Israel, and I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, and that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And then thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him. So I took it from Saul, so as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thy house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity again to be gathered around your word. I pray that your anointing, your blessing will be upon it, that you will also anoint and bless the hearts of the people. Father, we surrender to you. We give our lives over to you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. We may be seated. David had just one utterance, one request. He was looking, there was peace in the land, and the enemies were defeated. And it came, this thought come up in his heart, why is the Lord still walking around in tents while I have peace from all of my enemies? So he just expressed what was on his heart. He just got an inspiration. And he started to express the inspiration. And you know, when you speak under inspiration, things are starting to move in some way. We may not see it right ahead. We can say in David's cause, situation, he was just, you know, thinking about maybe architecture and stones. But this expression of David, it just stirred something up in the heart of the Lord. The Lord had a different answer to David's question. David's question was, let me build you a house, a place for you to dwell. But the Lord answered him very differently. He said, David, I will build you a house. That's an answer, isn't it? When you come and you bring your request before the Lord and you just ask the Lord to be a blessing to others, to express yourself to others. Father, use me this morning. Use me this day in my work. Use me. Please, Father, use me for some believers. Let me be a help to some believers. And in David's case, this stirred something up in the Lord. Because it was after the mind of God. Brothers and sisters, we so often underestimate the position God has placed us in. Just by expressing what's on your heart, it can stir something up in the Lord. Whatever your need is, you may be praying for somebody else, somebody else's situation. You may be serving somebody else, helping somebody, doing something for others, and just expressing yourself. And the whole thing from the Lord's side will turn, and suddenly you will get answers of questions in your life. I will use you for a blessing. Your house shall be totally different than you are thinking, David. You're thinking about architecture. You think about stones. You think about the cedar of Lebanon. But I think about completely different house. I'm going to build a totally different house. There's a house of living stones. I'm going to put up a house of living stone. It's going to be amazing. It's not going to be. Build a temple, and that's the fulfillment of the desire in the heart of the Lord. You know what is the desire in the heart of the Lord really? Yeah. It's to have fellowship. It's to be your God, and you are His people. That's his only desire. Why did he walk around in tent? Why did he walk around in skin? It was to have fellowship. It was to serve and help and be their healer, be their deliverer, be their guide in times of trouble. That's it. I want to have fellowship. I want to be with you. I want to be your helper. I want to do good to you. So, something stirred up while David started to speak. Oh, it's exciting to be a Christian. It's so exciting to be a Christian. Just recently, the last half year, there's been a thought in my heart, and I started to express it. I asked the Lord, I said to the Lord, Lord, there must be more people in Sweden. You know, I know maybe one church in the whole of Sweden. Anybody who's Swedish here, like from behind, from early years, generations? Yes, a Swede. God bless you. I'm also 1/8 Swede, okay? So I have some Swedish family too. But this thought just started to repeat itself in my heart. There must be some more people in Sweden. And suddenly, one Sunday, there was a brother. Sunday, there was a big, what do you call those, caravan, motorhomes. Yeah. Motorhomes, yes. Just coming into the church area, parking the car. And during the service, I was preaching. And Sunday was just a lot of people coming out of the car. And they just came into the church, and they just suddenly sat down in the church. It was a man, his wife, and his mother, and a big group of children. And I started to speak with him, and he spoke English with me. So I said, God bless you, it's nice to have you, and you're welcome. Please come and sit and enjoy the service. We're so happy to see you. And after the service, I spoke to him, and he suddenly started to speak Swedish to me. And he said that he has been looking for he didn't think there were Norwegian believers of the message. He's been living 3 hours from our place and he has been a believer since the late 80s, this brother. And so he was so happy to find some believers. He said he met a group of message believers who don't really believe in church and those things. So he said, I went up in their face and I pushed them really hard, you know, just to make them say there must be some believers in Norway, he said. So he was like, you know, tell me, where are they? And he said, okay, there's a group in Sarpsborg, all right, he said. So here they come. They were looking for us and we have been looking for them. So we started to meet them. Brother Jean-Claude William, his name is. And we started to have meetings. And we invited for a convention. We made a convention. And there came some believers from south of Sweden, some believers from his family, and another family. It was just three families at the meeting. And they really enjoyed, and I enjoyed. And I had some people from our church, and we really enjoyed to have this convention together. And we were in the evening. We rented a cabin, and we were testifying, and we told about our testimony and how we received the message, and just was rejoicing in the word together. And we talked together, and we agreed that we must do this repeatedly. So we had a brother coming from Germany up, and I said, let's stop in Sweden. Let's have a meeting in Sweden. And he was very happy for that. So we went, we rented a motel, and we had a meeting. It was just this one family and this visiting minister and us, some believers from Norway. And he said, you know, we must do this again. So we decided we should have it every last Saturday every month. And he was happy, and I was happy, and we were all happy, because then I could, you know, stay at the hotel and just leave in the morning and go for church back home on the Sunday. So just a few weeks ago, and this is quite new, brothers and sisters, this is I went there, and he had started inviting people, because he knew people. He knew people. So there was now it was three more families coming. And one of the family was living 6 hours in that direction in Sweden. Another family was living 4 hours in that direction in Sweden. And it was 3 hours in that direction. Just people from all Sweden, covering, you know, half of Sweden, just coming to the meeting. And I said, oh my, what is going on, Lord? And I spoke with some of the believers, and one sister said, who was living 4 hours away, she said, you know, I know four more families. I know four families, they are longing for church. They really want church. And if you have more time and invite in a longer time, they will come. So now we have a church that's bigger than our local church suddenly. It's just amazing how when Lord just puts some inspiration there, and you just starts to, I don't know what I'm doing. It's just a desire. How can this big country with 10 million people be non-believers in that big country? How can it be? Lord, there must be some more. And the Lord started to manifest those things. But we're all just in the beginning, so just please pray for us. I said to the brother, I'm sure the devil hates this thing. He's going to attack it. But let's just press on. Let's not focus on the troubles. Let's just press on and just have the meetings and invite and we see what's happened. We don't know. Is that what else can we do? We just have to push on. Amen. It's important to start expressing yourself. What's in your heart, brothers and sisters? What's on your heart tonight? What are you thinking about? What do you want to do for the Lord, you young boys? What's on your heart, boys? You know, the Lord has something for each and every one of us. And I love it's not very complicated things. He can just use very simple people like me. Because I tell you, I'm a simple man. I am not very advanced, I tell you. But I'm so happy he can use a man like me also. It's going to be some testimonies about, I hope it's okay. Some years ago, we had a dog. A Finnish reindeer shepherd dog. They are very hard to train. Really hard. If you ask him to go right, it goes left, definitely. Because the biggest desire in that dog's life is to run after a person who is bicycling. And it does it, because it thinks it's a deer, okay, or a reindeer. Okay. So we had that dog for years, and I loved the dog, and we all loved the dog, but they had to put him down because he was ill. He was old and ill. But it's been on my heart, I want a new dog, another dog. Any dog people here? Just me? No. So I was wanting a dog. My wife said, we're not going to have a dog. Because she remembers the dog chewing on the seat to the piano, all the corners, just like that, and the carpets, chewed up and stuff like that. And I remember we had a prayer meeting back home, and there was a sister there who had just bought her new sandals. They were no more. So it was just open your wallet and start to pay. So that was in her mind when I started to talk about the dog again. But I was using with my iPad sitting and looking at dogs. And he was passing by, and every time, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen, she was saying. I was, no, it's okay, son. It's okay, honey. I just love to look at the dogs, you see. But she was very, I don't want to push through things when I want to have, peace. So I'm not going to push through a dog in the house because, it can be quite demanding to have a dog. So, but my wife, she became ill. I told you this morning. She got breast cancer a year ago, and was operated exactly 1 year ago. And her testimony is that since she was ill, she has been I tell you, every day in the forest, walking for 2 hours, finding a spot in the woods, sitting there and praying and worshiping the Lord. Just have her own spot, all by herself, talking to the Lord. It's been like that for a whole year, every day. She has been, she had told me not one night she had trouble sleeping. She has slept like a child, woke up happy in the Lord, putting on her clothes, going into the woods, just worshiping the Lord in the woods. It's a wonderful thing. But it's also wonderful for me, because the Lord spoke to her in the woods and said, not in King James English, but he said, your husband should have a dog. Grace. Amazing grace. And a week after, I had a dog, maybe less. You know, I have big children. Maybe it's something about the children moving out. Maybe. I'm just saying, maybe. But I got this beagle, a hunting dog. I love hunting. So I thought, you know, nice combination to have a beagle and to love hunting. But this dog requires a lot of training. It was 1 hour in the morning and 2 hours in the night. So that means this man had to go 1 hour in the morning, 2 hours in the night. So I can tell you, I have lost quite a few kilos by the grace of God. And I don't even dare looking at my wife asking her to walk the dog, because that's not part of the agreement, okay? So I got this dog, and I've been walking it every morning for an hour in the morning and 2 hours in the evening. And we have this, a trip. It's about 3 kilometers, something like that. What's that in miles? Two miles, maybe? Yeah. And I walk this, take this walk with him, you know, very scenic places in Norway, very beautiful, everything. And the dog loves to go there, no problem. But this morning, the dog was just coming around the corner, just 100 meters from the house. It was just flat on his stomach, refusing to walk another meter. Just stopping like that. And I think this is weird. It's crazy. Why is the dog behaving like that? He loves walking in this trip. So I took a shorter trip, and he was happy. It was just like 15 minutes. And we came home, and I thought, oh, I have time now for I was, you know, walking and then going in my office. So now I have time. Now I can use some extra time studying a topic, maybe. Something in the Bible. And this thought came to me that I want to look into Job and, you know, Elihu, his friend. Brother Branham speaks about him being like an image of Christ, like Christ to Job. And I thought, I have to, you know, search that topic. It's interesting. In which way is Elihu a type of Christ? So I studied this, and I was rejoicing to just see the scripture, how Job, how he was a righteous man, and how he, still a righteous man, went into a lot of problems. Problems, 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 problems. Still righteous. It's amazing to see that. And you can see all the troubles. Something also came after Job, like he was, in a way, blaming God a little, you know. He was hurt and so many things going on in his life, and his friends came, you know, his real friends, and they kind of said, it's your problem, it's your fault, you're a secret sinner, you're a terrible person, you know, if God should if God should treat you the way you deserve much worse. So they were really hard on Job. But then Elihu came. And Elihu, he shifted the whole vision from being, you know, on the earth and in the flesh and struggling and striving. He kind of turned Job up to lift his face up and see the God who knows things, who can see things. He can see things from that to that side. From the Lord, there's nothing too hard. Isn't that a perfect expression of Christ? How Christ in our life just magnifies the Lord, and things get magnified because of how the Holy Spirit works in our life. It's wonderful. So I was so happy to just go into this topic, this 45 minutes. And you can see how the Lord himself came down to Job and how everything was fixed for Job. Still righteous. A lot of troubles. Still righteous. And things just... The Lord revealed himself. Where were you before the sons of the in the morning, before the morning stars? And he just painted this whole grand picture. And Job, he was actually, the trials of Job became grace towards his friends. Because his friends, they were corrected. They were legalists in the church. They were giving others a hard time. And the trials of Job, the pain, the suffering he went through, it became their rebuke. Oh, and also the wife of Job was rebuked. Because of this situation that Job went through. Something to think about when we go through things. It can be something. It can be help. Because rebuking is help. Even though we don't like it. How many of you boys like to be rebuked by your parents? You seek to be rebuked? Is it like that? No. Please rebuke me. I'm terrible, Father. No, you don't like that. But it was grace for the friends of Job. And you can notice that Elihu was the only one who was not scolded or not rebuked. But the others were. And that's just amazing to see. So my story, sorry, I was into that story. My story was that I was seeing this. I was so happy, and I went to Job, and I was at my work, just thinking about this story the whole day. And I came home, and we were having dinner in the garden, and we had some grilling, and and my son was there. And I could see he was really down. My deaf son, 29 years old, he was so sad. And I asked him, "Why are you sad? Why?" Why are you crying? Why are you sad? And he said, I have so much trouble with my deaf friends. My deaf friends are always, you know, it's hard to be a Christian with them. My son has said through the years, I want to be a witness in the deaf community. I want to before them, live the Christian life. Because it's all about being religious. It's all about, child baptisms and rituals. I want to be a witness. And it's always getting, opposition. But the inspiration caught me. And I start to recite the things I experienced the morning. How, Job went through all these things. And how this Christ came and lifted up Job so he could get the right vision on this problem. And I could see how my son just, he could understand this. There's some purpose now. There's some reason. Yeah. While I'm going through this, And I thought, the Lord spoke to my wife in the forest about the dog. And I got the dog, and the dog refused to walk a meter on that trip. And he brought me back home so I could study that thing in the morning so I could preach to him in the night. And I thought, wow, so simple, but so practical and powerful. It just changed the atmosphere completely. Amen. I think it's wonderful. It's just wonderful to serve the Lord. And it's exciting. It is. Brother Branham speaks about David. If I can find it. It's from a dedication service from 62, 11th of November. Brother Brown says, it was a good thought. His inspiration was a good thought. It was a thought after God's heart. The prophet Nathan immediately said, do it. The Lord is with you. He immediately said, do it. He had a good thought. And the prophet said, immediately do it. That's something, isn't it? You can see, he said, do it. The Lord is with you. But the same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan and it changed everything. You can see the Psalms, how David is constant thinking of God. David was constantly thinking about God. And this, you know, meditating on the word and meditating on the presence of the Lord, being in the presence of the Lord, it affects you. So powerful that his thoughts becomes your thoughts. His expression becomes your expression. It's no longer your thoughts. It's him inspiring you to think. That's something different from religious thinking, isn't it? Like duty thinking. Oh, we're here because my grandparents were here. We're here because of Brother Barry. If I'm not here and Brother Barry see I'm not here, I'm in big trouble. That's duty thinking. It's no heart in it. But to be so close to the Lord that your thoughts become his thoughts, or his thoughts become your thoughts. Yeah. And you start to express him. What is going on then? Yeah, it's the Logos. Expressing himself through you. He's using your skin. To express eternal thoughts. Oh, that's what I'm desiring. That's what I want. Father, give me more of that. Let me be more in your presence so I can express the things and the thoughts you have. Take the religious thoughts away from me. The duty things, the pressure. Let me be in your presence. The Lord saw the motives in David's heart. He was a man after God's own heart. He sees your motives. He sees your prayers. Lord, there are so many obstacles in my life. I really want to witness. But there are obstacles. I really want to do it. Continue to be in his presence. And you will be a witness. You will be a witness. Just do it. Just do it. Stay in his presence. And he will express himself through you because his thoughts becomes your thoughts. Amen. eternal thoughts manifested. Those thoughts are not new. Inspiration for the inspiration of David was not a new inspiration, but when David started to utter and express, he tapped into the eternal thoughts of God. In God, there was fellowship. It was fellowship with His creation. It was fellowship with the people. It was fellowship with His bride. That is His eternal thoughts. It's always been there. And He came down to have this fellowship. He just started to descend to be able to fellowship with all of us. Praise the Lord. It wasn't by chance something happened. No, it was planned already in the mind of God. All back in the mind of God. It's been there all the time. I remember once I spoke with our old pastor back in Norway. He was my pastor for 20 years. And I gave him just a simple question. Because this was in the 90s. And I just started to read my Bible. And I started to read in Revelation. I thought that was, you know, a good place to start. And I came to Revelation chapter 5. And I spoke with Brother Pierre, you know. Please... Revelation 5, about taking the book, is that future, is it now, or is it before? And then Brother Pierre, he just, you know, rose up, and he gave me a 20-minute lecture about from the back part of the mind of God, the things that was He planned, the, you know, plan of redemption in the back part of the mind of God's logos coming down, starting to express those thoughts. And how the Lamb was from before the foundation of the... You know, he gave me the whole picture. And I said, okay. No idea what you're talking about. But that tapped something into Brother Pierre. And he got inspired. But I had no idea what he was talking about. But I remember the incident. I really do. Brother Pierre is a wonderful man of God. He's really a teacher in the message. And he loves to... dig into deep things. So may bless his heart. I sent a text to Brother Trevor Eamon this morning. And I said, hello, Brother Trevor. Bless your heart. And he said, where are you? I said, I'm with Brother Barry. Oh, all right. Yeah. The Lord gave him half a page of reply to his single, simple question. I want to build you a house, said David. And the Lord said to David, I will build you a house, David. Yeah. I want to do something for you. No, I will do it for you. For me? And the Lord, you can see, if you read it very close, you can see the Lord starting to reveal things. Bigger and bigger things. It's a big, big plan that's being unfolded through. Because David, he tapped into the revelation. By his utterance, by the words he spoke, it just opened, you know, the doors of revelation. That's amazing. Just think of what God wants to do for you. You can just tap into Him. And He starts to just to express Himself through... He's going to do it in David's life. Wow. It's amazing. So he started to speak about his son. You know, okay, Solomon, we can follow that page. No, it was more. It was an eternal kingdom. And he's just started to express, you know, it's going to be a kingdom that's everlasting. It's going to last, you know. It's going to be a bigger thing. I'm not talking about stones and architecture, says the Lord. I'm talking about, you know, a house, a dynasty, a son you're going to have that's eternal, that will come and have a seat, have a throne. We'll have a house He's building. You know, the house that Christ is building. It's you and me. You're the living stones. So Christ was going to have a house, a building, and you are the stones in that building. Praise the Lord. All this started to being expressed because David just said one word. I want to build you a house. No, you're going to have a house. So the living stones and everything, Peter and the evangelists, they just pick up these things and call it, you know, we are living stones in the house of God. Amazing. So we are part of it. We are the house that he's building. Why is that? Because he wants a dwelling place. He wants skin. He wants skin to have fellowship in. He wants to express him in skin. You are the house he's living in. He was walking in one man, in one body through Christ. But at Calvary, his spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, his spirit was divided. Logos was divided on the believers. So now you are the skin. You are the stones of this building that was prophesied to David. Amen. It's wonderful what the Lord is doing, isn't it? And he has full control. He knows what he's doing. I tell you. Have anybody had a builder in their yard that is going to build you a garage or something that has no idea what they're doing? They just start to do stuff, and a very cheap one. They didn't have to pay much. This is a terrible craft of work. No, this is not our Lord. He knows exactly what he's doing with each and one of you. It's never a chance. It's never things that just happens. It's expression. It's thoughts in the mind of God coming to a manifestation. So let's just be ready. Let's just say amen. Amen. Let this be this man's life. Lord, may you use this skin. For me, my prayer is use this skin in Sweden. Use this skin in Hickory. Use this skin in North Carolina. Use it wherever you want, Lord. Use it in Africa. Wherever you want, Lord. He has a house. Grammar. You are the house. But you know, this is not the end. In Revelation, there will come a day when the new Jerusalem will come down. It will be God dwelling with his people. You know, that's the final act of the vision of David. That's a long story. Would you say so? What David saw at the eternal kingdom. You know, I don't know what that means, but must be something lasting very long. And here in Revelation 21, you can see after the millennium, you can see the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. So tall, so wide, just a dwelling place. For who? For his bride. The new Jerusalem is his bride. What is it? What is the Lord desiring? It is to have fellowship. Nothing else. It's not to be interesting, not for you to be interesting, not for you to have some special revelation idea. No, it's to be having fellowship with you. Amen. When you're praying, when you're talking with the Lord, he's there to meet you, meet your needs, Amen. Talk to you, help you. Glory to God. So here comes the house. Here comes the new Jerusalem down. Where is it placed? It's placed on an earth that is that is justified, sanctified, and had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, cleansed with fire. That's the place where the New Jerusalem will be placed. Brother Branham picks up this thing and he shows us that the baptism of Jesus, you can see a fully clean man of God. The Holy Spirit comes down like the New Jerusalem and places himself on him. I think that's a promise to his bride. You know, this city, it will be placed upon the earth after it's cleansed through water, it's cleansed through the blood, and it will also be cleansed through fire. And there will this city come down. And we're going to dwell with him forever. That's the eternal kingdom with him. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. He has a plan. Inspiration is very important. It is important to have an understanding where you should go with your inspiration also. It's very rare that you get inspiration to walk into a bar or into other places. Right. So we should, together with inspiration, we need discernment. Yep. We need to know what to do with inspiration. Yep. In Luke, the second chapter, we read about when Christ was born and the shepherds. The shepherds received revelation of the angels. I really want to see that. I must say that. That would be wonderful. How they were praising because Jesus was born. And they were just, you know, the coming down, and there was worship and there was songs. And the Lord, it was revealed to the shepherds. Most of us, many of us, I think when we receive a revelation like that, we will probably run to Jerusalem. The Lord spoke to me. You know, I'm very important. He came to me. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, look at the revelation I got. But the thing is, when the shepherds received the revelation, they also received instructions. There was certain instruction following the revelation. Because the instruction were, go to Bethlehem. Go and see the babe. Go and see Jesus. And the Bible say, they walked very slowly. To check. Is that so? Bible says they hasted to see if this is true. Yeah. When you receive a special inspiration, special revelation, what we should do is to take that revelation and hastily bring it to the Word. Yeah. What do we do with inspiration? They went to the stable. Brother Branham speaks so wonderful about this, about how he revealed himself to the shepherds. Why shepherds? I noticed one sentence he says somewhere. He says, because they were familiar with stables. They didn't care much about getting dirty. They didn't care much about the smell. They just walked. They were willing to walk into the place where Christ was born, even though it was a stinky place. May the Lord help us that we are willing to go to the stinky places. That we don't, you know, say that, no, we are upper class people. We're the important one in the message. We got the revelation. We got the vision. We got the understanding. We may have that, but if you receive that, run to the Word with it. Bring it under the authority of the Word of God. Then all is well. Rejoice in the revelation the Lord gives you. Serve Him with joy. But don't run to Jerusalem, where the Lord is pointing you to Bethlehem. May the Lord help us. So they went and saw the baby. And it was like the angel had told him. It was exactly what the angel had told them. They hasted there, they saw the baby, and they rejoiced in it. And Mary was blessed by it. Wonderful. But the scripture says, and then they went and testified. Okay? They received the revelation, they went to the Word with it. Is it the Word? And then they went out and started to testify. If it's scripture. Problem is, we run before we have the vindication, before we have the witness. Before we check it with the Word. Because Christ, the baby, was the Word. They should run to Him and check first, is this how the angel said? And they did. It was very hard to get the priest into the stable, to get them into the stable. I just imagine, I have a lively fantasy. Sometimes I just see, you know, get some funny pictures. I can just, you know, see them lift their ropes and, you know. No, I don't want to go in there. And that's a terrible religious spirit. That was not the spirit that was in the shepherds. Oh, this smell, we have smelled before, no problem. We can live with that. So they went in. Amen. Another thing, the other day I was just sitting and thinking about, you know, when we're not born again, we have the nature of goats, right? Or the nature of pigs. It's very direct said, but it's truth. You know the nature of, would you like to be a shepherd of a flock of goats? I read something about it. They are pulling each way. They are, you know, having, get an idea, they see something. Some child with some lunch or something, they just, you know, runs after him, try to steal his lunch. Terrible nature in the goats. So they go every way, you know, just every way. They try to, please come together. You know, then whatever they want to do, they do it. But that's not the nature of sheep and lambs. They flock together. Oh, so individual, brothers and sisters. It's so easy to be individual. I want to do it my way. But what we need, and this is, again, this is my head. We need a machine in the field. You can take the goat and put the goat into the machine, and on the other side is a sheep. That would be the job for the shepherd, much easier. But do you know what this machine is? It's a new birth. That's a new birth. Your nature, it's not fixing the goat to behave like a sheep. It's a new nature. Born again with the Holy Spirit. It's a new nature in you. And Brother Brad makes this many times. This talks about the cleaned up pig. It's such funny to think about how you take the pig inside and you wash it and you perfume it and you make it really cute and nice. And you think that I've fixed the pig now. From this day on, this pig is going to be a message believer. He's going to sit in church on the front row every Sunday. Can you smell how nice he smells? Oink, oink. I can tell you, after the first service, he will be out somewhere around here and letting the nature inside of him express itself. The smell of perfume, it will be gone very fast. Now, put them into the machine. Let them receive a new nature. Let them be born again. Am I simple enough? Amen. I think I'm going to stop, brother. Don't want to wear you out. Just walk on your inspiration. Just do it. Amen. Just express it. Be close to the Lord. Yes. So his thoughts becomes your thoughts. Amen. You start to express his thoughts. And follow the inspiration the Lord gives. But bring the inspiration to the Word of God. Check with the Word of God. Is this the right thing to do, Father? Lead me. Lead me, Lord. I will follow. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Me, Lord,
Says just keep walking. So he's walking down the street, going down the street, goes down into that other part of town and goes down and And all of a sudden he sees a woman who had inspiration that matched his inspiration, but her inspiration called for something, and Brother Branham's inspiration was to answer something. Same God. Same God. And she's got inspiration. There's an Elijah somewhere. There's a Parson somewhere. And I don't know where he is. I can't see him. But I know he's somewhere. And she's out leaning on the fence. You remember that old colored woman leaning on the fence out there? And she's just waiting. And when Brother Branham walks down and said, "Morning, Parson," he says, "How do you know I'm a Parson?" And, you know, in such a simple way, right? That's a really simple story. But it just shows how God, he's not way off in some distant fog somewhere. He's got two vessels, and he's just moving them around. You know, I have my Elijah here, and all this that went on in that woman's life and that son laying on the bed dying and all the rest of it. And God's answering prayer here, and you know how he does that. And Brother Bram doesn't know anything about that. Doesn't know the woman. Doesn't know anything about that. You know, storms, airplanes, you know, foreign town that he's in and all, and brings the two of them together. And then God says, "Oh, that's it. That's it. Bang." And then the boy is healed. And Brother Branham goes on his way and, you know, gets back, gets on the plane, and all works out good.
Amen.
He does all things well, doesn't he? He does all things well. And I love stories of inspiration, how people are led and, moving at the unction of God, moving in that way. It's just absolutely a wonderful thing. I love them, don't you? I just love them. Leave it in C there, if you will. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. I know he is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. Desire to serve you and walk with you all the days of our lives, Lord. We have absolutely no idea how long we'll be here. We see events in the world that are unfolding that, without question, Lord, could become serious events that could bring about global catastrophe. Lord, we don't really want to occupy our minds too much with that. We just want to be ready. We want to be following the inspiration and the leading of Almighty God. Come to a place, Lord, where you can just whisk us away in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. We thank you, Lord, for how you deal with us and how you speak to us so simply, Lord, and yet so purposefully. Have your way now, we pray. We thank you for Brother Sven and ask, Lord, that you would just restore his strength, and I pray that you would bless him the last day or so of his trip here and bring him back safely to his family again. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing he's been to our assembly. Have your way, Lord. We thank you for this day and all it means to us. Thank you for the resurrection and the life that follows. We thank you, Lord, for your healing virtue, and we pray you'd minister to those that really need your touch. And there are many among us, Lord, that always will be. And we commit them into your hands and pray that you'd be merciful. Have your way, Lord, we pray now. We commit people into your hands and thank you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' lovely name we pray. And everybody said, I love this family of God. I love this family of God. I love the people of God. You can take them from any part, any corner of the earth, and bring them together. And you know what? We just have things in common. And it's just a great blessing. Sing it tonight as you go. God bless you. I love this family of God. So closely knitted.
Yeah. Thank you.